To be the person God created you to be, you'll need a solid physical, mental, and spiritual foundation. And Pietra Fitness can help. Pietra Fitness, a uniquely Catholic fitness program, offers in-person and online classes that combine stretching and strengthening exercises with Catholic meditation. Whether you've been working out for years or are looking to build a fitness habit, Pietra Fitness has a class for you. Visit www.pietrafitness.com today to start your free trial.
It's not too late to diversify into gold. Physical gold was used to preserve wealth throughout history, and now is a great time to include it in your savings strategy. Birch Gold Group makes the process straightforward. They help you convert an existing IRA or a 401k into a tax-advantaged physical gold IRA without any out-of-pocket costs. Just text HOPE to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold IRAs. Protect your savings today. Hello and welcome back to A Reason for Hope. I'm your host, Mario Costabile, and it is an absolute joy to have you listening with us today. Hey, you're listening for a reason, by the way. There are no accidents or coincidences. I believe you're listening because the Lord will speak to you today about something you need to hear. That's just how He works. He's amazing and knows what you need. Anyway, I'm totally glad that you tuned in. Please make sure that you subscribe and follow us today. Listen, hit that subscribe button wherever it is, hit it so you engage and become part of the A Reason for Hope family. Forward this link to as many people as possible. You never know who is seeking and looking for guidance and formation in their faith life. And A Reason for Hope podcast could certainly help. Also, prayerfully consider about going to our donation page and supporting this work. Without people like you, we would literally not exist. We need you. And the way you can do this is by going to arrayofhope.org and navigate to our donation page. We are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, so any and all donations are tax deductible. And that is a real perk. Our guest today is Gary Zimak. Gary Zimak is an awesome guy. He is a full-time Catholic evangelist and author. Some of his books include Let Go of Fear, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and Give Up Worry for Good. He is a frequent speaker at parishes and conferences across the country and is widely known for his talks on overcoming anxiety. Here is Gary Zimak. So, Gary, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourself, Mario?
I am just great. I'm alive. I'm good. What could be any better than that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Plus, we get to chat. It's been a long time since we've spoken.
It's been a long time. It's so great to catch up with you. I'm so glad that I reached out to you and been checking up on what you're doing. And it sounds like you're doing some pretty exciting things.
I am. You know, it's funny. Ever since my book, Give Up Worry for Lent, came out, that book has just taken off. My Lents are crazy for the most part.
That's awesome.
And the way the Lord's working it out, I'm doing writing, I'm doing some podcasting, but most of my speaking is taking place during the Lenten season, which is good and bad. It means I don't have to travel as much. The difficult thing is I'm on the road quite a bit during Lent. I did 7 parish missions this year.
Wow.
Which means I had to start before Lent. We actually did them 2 weeks before Lent. But God's been good. He just keeps opening doors for me. I go in the doors that are open. And I've learned you don't bang on doors that are closed. The Lord leads you to where He wants you to be. That's what I'm finding out.
Good advice. It's kind of like in Scripture, right? You know, if they don't accept you, kind of wipe the dust off your sandals bit.
Yeah, I'm still working on getting that right, brother. I've been in full-time ministry for 11 years now. And in the beginning, I banged and knocked on a lot of doors that were locked. And then I started realizing eventually, and again, I'm still working on it, that the Lord, through circumstances, through the reception of different individuals and projects, He leads you to the place where He can best use you.
So that's right. Amen.
I'm just trying to be open to His leading.
Before we get into it, I have a lot of questions I want to ask you. So Tell me a little bit about yourself. Let our viewers get a little inside view as to who you are. Now, I know you're a convert. Is that right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're
no,
not
I'm
a convert.
Catholic.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know why I thought that. I guess because everybody else I talked to is a convert. I just assumed that you were.
I, I'm a Mario. I'm a convert from lukewarmism, if you want to call
okay,
it that.
Okay. Okay. Me too. Me too.
Yeah. So technically a revert, you know, right. Cradle Catholic, born in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Worked for 30 years in the software industry. I was a software developer for 30 years and had a what I would call a major, technically a reversion, but I call it a conversion. It's a total change, an internal mm-hmm. change of heart mm-hmm. where the Lord just got to be very real to me. And I realized how real he was, how much I needed him. And I had this desire that somehow I should be working for him, you know, but I have a business degree, work in software for 30 years, didn't know how it was going to be possible. And then miraculously, it really took place through a job layoff. I was laid off from my day job. And my wife said to me, you know, you've always had this desire, recently you've had this desire to somehow work for the Lord in some way. Maybe this is your chance. So without any speaking work lined up, without any published books, but with the thought that I did want to start writing and wanted to start speaking, I literally got kicked out of the boat. I don't want to say I stepped out of the boat. The Lord gave me a little shove. And, you know, as I look back, he's taken great care of me and my family for the past 11 years. I've written 12 books. I've spoken around the country. I've been on radio, TV. And
that's awesome.
He just keeps opening doors. And I've learned to not question it anymore. I go where he leads me.
What was that period like where you had your reversion? What was the impetus of that? What triggered it? Were you seeking? What was that period like where, you know, the desire placed in your heart seemed unmanageable? You needed to fulfill it. What was that like?
Yeah, you know, I've never been a real seeker, at least intentionally, but I've always been an anxious person. Starting when I was a young child, I was really struggled with anxiety, and it manifested itself in many different ways. But I was just terrified, hopeless, discouraged, you name it, that was me. And, you know, as I look back now, my major reversion took place because of a health crisis. I thought I was dying. And I panicked and I thought, if it's time to meet the Lord now, I'm not ready. I'm a lousy Catholic. I've been going through the motions for so many years. I better get my act together. Mm. So that was the big one. That was late 2004. And at that point, you know, Philly guy, I'm a big sports fan. I would listen to sports talk radio all the time. I was Catholic radio, Catholic TV was not on my radar. But once I began to panic, thinking I was dying, I switched the dial and began listening to Catholic radio. I watched Catholic TV. I even began to read the Bible and go to daily mass. I mean, look, I'm either all in or all out. That's the way I roll. And it's very interesting. What happened was I began to feel a sense of peace, even though I had some weird medical symptoms. The doctors had to do tests over a period of months. And I began to feel a sense of peace, even though there was no resolution. They didn't know what was wrong with me. And then I realized that was the encounter with Christ. I had finally gotten to know him. He became real to me. He is the Prince of Peace. That's what happens. And several months later, all the symptoms vanished. I was technically undiagnosed with anything. But I realized that's the way the Lord got my attention. And you know, I say this was not a one-time conversion because throughout my life, as I look back now, I remember I never fell away from church. I was lukewarm, but I went to Mass frequently. I mean, every week, sometimes even daily Mass. And I would go through periods where I'd pray or, you know, mainly when I needed something. When I look back now, Mario, I realize that there was a sense of peace there when I did those things, when I walked into the church, when I would pray. I didn't put it together then, but I look back now and realize this conversion was building over a number of years. He was trying to get my attention, and eventually this thing really took hold, and the Lord got a hold of me, and I made a deal with him. Look, Lord, I'm never going to turn back from you again. And I just had that desire to know more about Jesus and to know more about his Catholic Church. And then I began to want to work for him in some way. And that's when, you know, a few years later, the layoff took place. And miraculously, I started doing Catholic radio. I was invited to do Catholic radio. I did blogging, got a book contract. And, you know, the rest is just took off from there. But it was a lifelong process with a really big, You know, I think the Lord was really putting the pressure on pretty heavy when he saw that it was time to really get me. And that was, it's been great ever since.
That's awesome. Praise God. I know during that period, it sounded like you experienced some anxiety and some worry. Oh, yeah. And it seems, at least the books that I've read by you, that is sort of like the foundation of what you write about. A lot of your books deal about, you know, trusting God and overcoming worry and anxiety. So maybe you can share a little bit with our viewers and listeners. How do you do that? How do you overcome the angst that is so prevalent today in our culture amongst many, many people across all demographics?
You know, it's funny, and that is absolutely the focus of my ministry, to reach out to those who worry. That was never my goal. My goal was to be some super evangelist, apologist, but, you know, it came to me one day that I'm a worrier. I'm somebody who has always struggled with worry, and it came to me like, oh my gosh, once I had my reversion, I realized I was feeling peace for the first time. And again, I'm wired to be a worrier. I will never overcome a tendency to be anxious. However, with Jesus Christ and my relationship with him, I'm able to experience peace one day at a time. So I realized that I can't be alone. There are a number of worriers out there who need to hear this story, who need to know that Jesus is real. And that's been the focus of what I've done. Again, it wasn't my intention, but I realized this is where I'm most effective because I get it. I know what it's like to worry. And, you know, brother, when we worry about our problems, when we worry, Jesus is not real enough to us. That's what it comes down to. And my goal is to help make him real. And it's a process. It's getting to know him each day, inviting him into your heart, surrendering your life to him one day at a time. You got to do it every day through scripture, through the sacraments, through prayer. And if you do that on a regular basis, this is what I try to let people know, you're going to feel a sense of peace, not necessarily a flood of peace, because some of us really struggle with this. But, you know, I'm preaching to a receptive audience. So when I do my Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions, people come who don't ordinarily go to church type things. So they tell me that. I don't normally do this, I've heard, but I'm really worried. I'm desperate. I need some help. So I sort of go in through the back door with my mission, with my message. I'm all about leading the people to Christ and to his Catholic Church.
But
I do it by reaching people where they need to be reached. People need relief. People are looking for relief, Mario. Not everybody gets to that point where they realize who they need, but they're looking for the Lord.
Amen. So if I hear you clearly, I mean, it's not like a button that you push and, you know, on anxiety, off anxiety kind of a thing. I mean, it is a process, and that process is really contained by trust in the Lord. Yeah. And so maybe you could share that. I mean, you know, easier said than done, right? I mean, the devil works within the confines, context of fear. I mean, if you worry, if you fear, that's really the devil working within you, creating doubt, creating anxiety, which is not of God. We're all a work in process. So maybe you could share some of the things that you've learned in your life, how our viewers and listeners can really work in that peace. What are some of the techniques? What are some of the things that you do? You shared a little bit the sacraments and prayer, but maybe we could go a little bit more granular, a little more deeper. Sure. So what are the things that, you know, what are good tips?
The first thing I want to do is to follow up on what you just said. That word process, that's my favorite word when it comes to this. It is a process.
Yeah.
So somebody like me is wired to be anxious. That's how I am.
Well, I just want to interrupt. I think we're all like that. I think
more, many people are.
It varies in people, but I think I hate to say it, but I think worry is part of our DNA, which is part of original sin. I don't know if I'm theologically quoting it correctly, but I know that fear is not of God, and that fear component is part of the embeddedness that was given to us through original sin. So I think we all experience this as humans, right? We all, fear equates to anxiety, right? Fear equates to being anxious.
Yeah, you know, and you bring up, this is kind of a nuanced point, and it's a great point. It's one that I always like to talk about. Fear is an emotion. So the church teaches that fear is morally neutral. It's not right. It's not wrong. Now, there is a kind of, not all fear is created equal. God gave us the emotion of fear to alert us that there could be a problem.
Right.
Now, if as we're having this interview, if I start seeing smoke in my house, it might be time for me to get out of the house and call the fire department.
Right.
It's okay to be afraid then. And I like this quote from St. Francis de Sales. He said, "We must not fear fear." So fear can be good. Fear
right.
of, here's an example, fear of the Lord. Fear when right. I realized that, hey, I got some strange medical symptoms. I could be meeting the Lord in judgment pretty soon.
Mm.
I'm afraid. But the key is how we respond to fear.
Right. Thanks for the clarity.
Right?
Thanks for the clarity.
And sometimes we respond to fear by worry,
mm-hmm.
which is not trusting God.
Right.
You know what I've heard? I've heard that worry is a conversation we have with ourselves about things we can't change. And that's why we worry, because things are out of our control. However, if we respond to fear through prayer, that's a whole different story. I can't handle this problem. I'm in trouble. Lord, please help me. That's a great response. But I think so many times it's just an automatic process for somebody like me. Not everybody, you know, I always meet the people who say, "Oh, I never worry." And you know, there's a certain pride that comes into that comment. I my radar goes off when I hear, "I never worry about anything." And some people maybe should worry a little bit more than they do, you know,
mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to spiritual matters. We don't want to get cocky about this. But there, fear can lead to, you know, fear, concern. Concern's just another brand of fear. You know, this could be a problem. What can I do about it? Worry kicks in when we're trying to control the uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is those times when we don't trust God, when we don't trust Him, that's a problem, you know? So it's sometimes it's good to be afraid. It's good to recognize that there is a problem. But as I said, not all fear is created equal. If I'm afraid that God's not going to give me the grace to deal with whatever situation I'm facing in life, or if I'm afraid that my Father in heaven is not going to provide for my needs as Jesus told me He would, if I'm afraid of that, well, that's a problem, and I've got to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, nothing morally wrong about that, but it's a warning sign that something internally is wrong with my faith
mm-hmm.
if I'm afraid that God won't take care of me.
Sure, sure. What do you think about the younger generation that the pandemic certainly hasn't helped, but we do a lot of events here at Array of Hope, and some of the events that we do are very youth-based. We do confirmation retreats and youth retreats, and we meet with them, and we just, you know, we have, you know, group discussions. It just, and of course, I have a young teenage daughter, not very young, she's 19, but it seems like a lot of young people today are just filled with anxiety, and a lot of them, there's a lot of suicide thoughts, there's a lot of, the suicide rate has gone up over the past few years. So what do you think about that? What do you think about, is the cause of that, and how can the church help in this area?
I think it's a real problem, and I encounter a lot of people who, you know, young people will come to my talks. I don't primarily speak to younger people, but a lot of people tell me my children are worried. My young adult children
right.
are terrified. They're worried, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I think if social media contributes to that. I mean, there's good stuff out there. Like what you're doing is fantastic. I try to do some things. There's good things out there which lead people to the Lord, but there's a lot of pressure. You know, when you just look at social media in terms of anxiety, if social media existed when I was a kid, I would have been a wreck because I was a shy kid. I didn't feel really good about myself. It would have not been good for me. So I see there's a lot of pressure nowadays. And, you know, there's a lot less belief in the Lord than what I saw. A lot of,
right.
you know, when I was young, it was kind of unusual. Everybody I knew was Catholic and we all went to church, but most people didn't live it, but they went to church all the time.
Right.
And the ones who didn't, they were unusual. It wasn't that common.
Right.
Now it's common. You know, we see the mass attendance going down. We got a problem here. But that's why what you're doing is so important. You're reaching out to the young people. You're letting them know that the Lord is real and He's the answer. If we're anxious, the Lord can help us.
You were made for greatness, but to become the person God created you to be, you'll need to have a solid physical, mental, and spiritual foundation, and Pietra Fitness can help you build it. Pietra Fitness is a uniquely Catholic fitness program that offers in-person and online classes, combining stretching and strengthening exercises with Catholic meditation, bringing life and health to the whole person. Pietra Fitness has workouts to help you improve your posture, balance, flexibility, and core strength, reduce stress, and increase spinal and joint mobility, all while nourishing the soul with prayer. Pietra Fitness even offers chair classes, prenatal and postnatal classes for new moms, and their new Pietra Kids program will help your kids get their bodies moving, find peace in an increasingly stressful world, and fall in love with their faith. Visit www.pietrafitness.com today to start your free trial. www.pietrafitness.com.
The U.S. government debt has grown a whopping $1 trillion in the last 3 months. And meanwhile, our economy only grew by $5.5 trillion in the last 3 years. The fiscal emergency has gotten so bad that even Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has called the situation urgent. This is why it's so important to shelter our assets right now. I mean, it's not too late to diversify into gold. Physical gold was used to preserve wealth throughout history, and now it's a great time to include this in our savings strategy. Birch Gold Group makes the process straightforward. They help you convert your existing IRA or 401k into a tax-advantaged physical gold IRA without any out-of-pocket costs. Just text HOPE to 989898 to receive their free info kit on gold IRAs with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, Birch Gold is the nation's number one gold IRA provider. Text HOPE to 989898 and protect your savings today. So if you're wondering how you can help this ministry, rating and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help others hear it, as well as sharing it with your friends and your family. So join us in this mission by rating, reviewing, or sharing this episode with someone you think needs to hear it. And we want to thank you for your continued support of A Reason for Hope podcast. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, and I think it's quite prevalent that, you know, the lack of God in our culture, the lack of God in our schools, the lack of God even in families. I mean, you know, we do these events and often we get the kids excited and we'll tell them, all right, guys, this is so great. You guys got to go to church. And the kids will say, well, we don't go to church. I go, what do you mean you don't go to church? Our parents don't take us to church. So I think, you know, they're almost at a disadvantage. I mean, how do you deal with that kind of anxiety? We often share them. There's a God out there that loves you, that cares about you, that really, you know, really wants you to thrive and be successful and enjoy life and experience joy. And they're like, yeah. Sometimes we say these things, and they're like looking at you like you have four heads. Like, who is this God? So I think as a church, we need to do a better job. I mean, it's a whole nother discussion and a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we need to figure out how we can really share God to families and young people so they can cope, right?
Right.
I mean,
right,
how do you cope without God? It's like
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. I don't know how you get up at the beginning of the day if you don't believe that He's real and that He loves you. But what you're doing and what so many of us are trying to do through social media and other avenues. We're trying to reach people who might not go to church. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's what happens. But you mentioned a great point. You know, I may have been lukewarm, but there was no question when I was growing up, my mom and dad said, you're going to church. I mean, there was no rebellion. There was nothing. They went and we went. My sister and I went. There was no choice. And thank God that happened, because it took me a long time for my faith to come alive and for Jesus to become real to me. But I was exposed to faith and church for all my life, and I'm very grateful for that.
Amen. Amen. So in 2020, you wrote a book called Let Go of Anger and Stress, which I read.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that, because now we're, you know, there's two, emotional expression, anger and stress. Tell us a little about, you know, the book and, you know, how people can cope with that.
That book is actually about the whole basis of that book. As you know, it's about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So that's a Holy Spirit book. And I wanted to write that for a long time, because one of the, I mentioned my conversion took place over many years. One of the things, the things that really got me to believe that Jesus was real and helped me was in the late 70s, early 80s, I started going to the charismatic prayer groups with a friend. And that whole awakening of the Holy Spirit and understanding of what the Holy Spirit can do in my life, that was a big turning point for me. Being around people who believed miracles could happen, they believed that the Holy Spirit was real, they believed Jesus was real, they read their Bible. I mean, that, as a Catholic, that was a wild experience, very eye-opening experience for me. Attractive and at the same time kind of scary. You know, I wasn't used to what I was seeing. But even that, it helped me for a few years. Then I got lukewarm. Life got in the way, and I lost sight of it. But letting go of anger and stress, that's the title we came up with for the book, because if you're angry, if you're stressed out, there's a good chance you're not tapping into the Holy Spirit and really letting the Holy Spirit work. And that's why I wanted to write that book. And rather than look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I think sometimes can be, the gifts can be a little confusing when you look at them all and you think, okay, which one is this? But if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, and I did a chapter in that book on each fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you look at what happens if you let the Holy Spirit work in you, that to me, that's the attractive part. Yeah, this is what I want. In fact, that sounds like the attributes of Jesus, the way he lived. And that's right, because that was the Spirit that was within him, the Holy Spirit. He's given me that Spirit. So if I learn to let the Holy Spirit work in me and not try to get in his way, I truly can give up anger and stress and really live a peace-filled life with the lead of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's awesome. In some of your books, you also express, you know, prayer is important. And you mentioned even at the beginning of this interview, the sacraments. I mean, it's a multiple of things. It's a multiple of gifts that the church gives us that helps us deal with these human compulsions that really draw us away from God. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Exactly. You know, my wife and I, and this is one of the fruits that came out of COVID, believe it or not, when we were in lockdown, my wife had tremendous anxiety. This was an unknown thing. We never experienced anything like this before. I never saw anxiety like that. We didn't know when it would end. We didn't know, you know, are we going to get it? Is it going to come in through the walls? Or
right? It's crazy. It was crazy time.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, I remember doing a video interview, a webcast with somebody from EWTN, and they had a priest on, and he said, yeah, we think it's going to like come through our screen. Like, we don't know, like, how are we going to get this COVID thing? So my wife was really, really, really anxious. And, you know, it ended up being a great blessing, because it was a big conversion for her. And she ended up, her faith ended up being so much stronger through that process. It's funny. We never got COVID up until, last year, when it wasn't even that bad, but just the fear was tremendous. But that whole experience for us really led us as a couple to pray together. So now we talk about prayer. My wife and I pray together each morning. We talk to our Heavenly Father. She never did that before.
Yeah,
and I had started doing that, talking to him as a father, saying, "Good morning, Father," and then we do our prayers together. And then we would go, once we could get out of the house again, we'd start going to daily mass, which is something that I was doing and my wife was doing from time to time. That's tremendous. I mean, the grace that you receive when you're able to go to mass and receive Jesus in the Eucharist, it's like taking a pill. It's like taking an anxiety pill. But it's tricky. And this is why I try to be realistic when I speak or when I write. It's not magic. And, you know, you don't always feel instantly better. Many times you feel nothing, but through faith, you believe that this is helping. And over time, It does help. And I can't imagine not receiving Jesus in the Eucharist every day. And I'm fortunately able to do that. And also, let's not rule out the sacrament of confession. I love the sacrament of confession because so many people are stressed out because they're carrying around the burden of past sins. It's a lot of hopelessness that we are carrying around unnecessarily. Mm. When we go to confession, we encounter Jesus. He's present in all the sacraments, as you know. And that grace that we get through the sacraments is what can help us to live at peace. So prayer, the sacraments, reading scripture, put all of these things together, and things begin to change because we are not dependent on our own senses, on what we hear in the media about the world, the state of the world. You listen to the media, they're going to give you pleasant, and I'm talking about non-Christian media, you're going to hear a lot of talk about how hopeless things are, how scary it is out there. But they never give you the full truth. The full truth is, yeah, it's scary out there, but God's in charge.
Yeah.
And we can't lose sight of that. So yeah. You put all these things together, and it's possible to live in peace. But Mario, you know what? I got to do it one day at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like a diabetic who needs insulin each day. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. I need the Lord. And you know what? That's what, sometimes he sets it up that way because he wants us to depend on him. And he realizes that on our own, we can't do it. Life is difficult. It's impossible to get through without a relationship with the Lord. And this is one of the ways he gets our attention. And you know what? If that's what it takes, I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're describing let it go, you know, surrender.
Yeah.
And trust. You know, it's like you've got to surrender and give it all to God in a way, because there's so many things, especially today in our world, that we can very well get stressed and anxious about and fearful. There's so many worldly things that are going on. There's so many things going on in our church that will invoke an enormous amount of fear and just bewilderment and just wonder, like, what's going on? So I think, you know, to our discussion, trust is just like surrender. You know, I try to surrender every day and say, Lord, you know, just carry me, and I have to trust that, you know, trust in Jesus, you know?
That's the key. And you know what? And I'm glad you mentioned trust, because trust isn't a feeling. Trust is a decision. And so many times each day, that prayer at the bottom of the Divine Mercy image, I love that prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I'm scared to death. Mm. Everything looks hopeless. This is a disaster. It seems to be useless. Why am I doing this? I don't know. I'm afraid. But Jesus, I'm going to choose to trust in you.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and I do it every day too, multiple times each day, right? Whether I feel it or not. And you know what I find? If you do that, if you keep doing that, and you combine that with the grace we can receive in the sacraments, and you have a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord, right? Over time, it gets easier. Yeah. And I find that I am afraid less than I used to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. But like you said earlier, it's a process.
Well,
and it takes time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like you said, over time. And I think what people forget is that it's the virtue of patience. They feel that they're taking a pill and now tomorrow they're going to be fine. And it's not really like that with faith.
No.
Faith is a compound of experiences in the sacraments building. Even to the point where you said, like, sometimes you don't feel anything, but it's that it's the seeds of grace that compound in us that eventually, before you know it, you're turning around and says, oh, no, I feel different today. It's because you had gone to Mass and received the sacraments, you know, all that time. And that happened to me, you know, that happened to me over time, you know, and I think it's important to share that with our listeners and viewers that it doesn't happen overnight. And it is a virtue. It's like, you know, it's like an athlete training. I mean, we are developing our spiritual and faith muscle, right, Gary?
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things I like to do when I speak about this or when I write about this is be honest, because I have heard a lot of well-intentioned preachers and writers who say, well, all you do is pray and you're going to feel better.
Mm.
Not always.
No.
It sometimes takes time. And the Lord knows that, because he knows us. He knows slackers like me who, if all I needed to do was pray and I felt better instantly, then I'd probably forget about him a little bit. You know, he knows that. And I'm so glad he understands that. But over time, you do feel a sense of peace, even though I like to say sometimes you might have peace of mind, but you don't have peace of stomach. So my stomach might still have the butterflies, but in my mind, I know, wait a minute, God's bigger than this.
Right.
He's allowing this to happen for a reason. He's in control. I don't feel it always, but I know it. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of faith. And then there are those times, like you said, where externally nothing seems to change. You wake up one day and you say, wait a minute, why am I not afraid? Why am I feeling better? Ah, because that's my realization that the Lord is in control.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always like to say, you invite him into your storm, things will always get better, not always externally, but at least internally. Sometimes he calms the storm, mm-hmm. sometimes he calms the sailor. And I really have found that to be the case.
Yeah, amen. And one thing I want to share also is that, you know, sometimes, you know, like you had said, you pray and you don't feel anything, you don't mm-hmm. see anything. And maybe the situation or the circumstance becomes more difficult. And one of the things I learned most recently is that, well, maybe God is trying to teach me something. Maybe God is trying to develop something within me that I lack. It might be patience. It might be maybe just strengthening my trust in him, that really relying, if I truly am relying on God and Jesus and the Almighty God, well, this is the time to prove it. So I think often, you know, these situations, there's always a greater good, right?
I really believe that. And, you know, sometimes, and look, I go through these dry spells and I don't like them, but that's part of the spiritual journey. I get that now. Sometimes I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling anything, but I'm going to keep praying. I don't care. I'm going to keep praying no matter what. Mm. And Mario, this is what I believe. I think sometimes when I pray, I might be praying about an intention that just isn't getting answered and I'm getting frustrated, but I keep praying about it. Oftentimes, I believe the fruit of that prayer is the fact that I'm able to pray about it the next day, even though I haven't gotten my answer. Right. You know, sometimes it's just that ability to make me want to keep showing up for my time with the Lord. That's the fruit of the prayer that he often answers. He doesn't always give us what we want when we want it. But I believe every time I pray, something happens, even though I may not see it. But just the ability to, sometimes I'll think like, man, I've been praying about this for a long time and it doesn't seem like it's going to ever happen, but I'm going to keep praying about it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that strength, that patience sometimes comes from the Holy Spirit working in us. And after all, patience is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Right. So
yeah,
it works.
Gary, is there anything that you want to share with our viewers and listeners that's up and coming or you want to let people know about?
Well, I do have, you know, it's funny. I did so many Lenten parish missions this year. I was completely booked and I had to turn people away. I actually have an opening for 2024. I have one opening for a Lenten, I give up worry for Lent parish mission.
Okay.
I'd love to go somewhere and bring this message. So, well, you know, I really would.
I mean, in addition to Lent though, I mean, you're available for parish missions if someone were to call you.
Yeah. I mean, I speak year round, but primarily during Lent, but I'm available to speak at parishes or conferences. And I just want to share this message. I want to let people know that the Lord is real and he can help them with what they're struggling with.
Yeah. And I know that, I mean, that's, I think that's where I met you. Initially, you were speaking actually at a Legatus chapter meeting.
Yeah.
I think that's where I met you. But it's funny that you brought up that you actually experienced an Array of Hope concert in New Jersey. And that was like a little shocker to me. It's like, wow, are you from Jersey?
I am. I grew up in Philly, but I live right over the bridge.
Okay.
So you're North Jersey. You're New York Jersey. I'm Philly Jersey.
I mean, I mean,
I mean, where you're from originally, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Our apostolate is in Northern New Jersey. I mean, we perform and do events all over the country, but I distinctly remember that one. That was kind of South Jersey and
South Jersey. Yeah. Riverton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's Sacred Heart Parish. You guys were good. I never saw anything like that before. It was hot that night, though. There was no air conditioning in the gym, but you guys brought it. What a great night.
The air conditioning was on, brother. It was the Holy Spirit generating all that heat, my man.
Whatever, man. what a night, though. And I was really impressed. I had never seen a Catholic event like that
before.
Yeah, well, and that goes back a number of years.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, it was a while ago. I remember that. Because we don't often play that part of New Jersey, which is right. Sort of near Philly, right?
Over the river.
Yeah. I remember that. Well, listen, Gary, it was a delight hanging with you and hanging and just talking the faith. And I wish you all the best. Is there anything else that you want to jump on real quick?
If you don't mind, I want one final plug for, I do a daily email reflection free of charge. People are really responding to that.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested, if you go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, you can sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled.
Awesome.
And I get a lot of response. It's a Bible verse and a short reflection. And it's, the response has been tremendous. So
awesome.
I would invite anybody who's interested to sign up for that for free. You'll hear from me once a day.
Awesome.
That's it.
And we'll put that in the show notes and we'll put it in the description so people could just link on it and go right to it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. All right, Gary. Great hanging. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you too, Mario. Thank you.
All right. Peace.
So glad that you joined us today for this podcast. It was wonderful being engaged in the hope of the church and finding ways that we can overcome really our own deficiencies and becoming a better person and also a holier person. So thanks for hanging in there and being with us today. I also want to remind you, look, share this podcast with as many people as possible. The more people hear about it, the more people the Lord could heal and save. Stay connected by following us on your favorite social media platform at R4H Podcast. That is the letter R, the number 4, and the letter H Podcast. And it's also the same on YouTube, R4H Podcast. You can check us out and see what we look like on YouTube. And remember, in a world where things can be dark, and they are dark at times, Christ is the light. There's always a reason for hope. This is Mario Costabile. Until next week, peace.